Yo, 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 check this out. This is Fresh Fit out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Floyd Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Dizzy Bomb.
Vice Womp.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up, what up, what up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records revealing that each of the rappers that are coming up getting put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. The show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow with Wizard.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering and graphics, just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Study your content and view the digs. Do everything free to download and stream. Oh yeah, we deserve the real.
Unstoppable, we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them chillers on the mic and we should love to all your fans. You keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm. Come and tune into the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's UGS for life. Dog, hip hop ain't dead. Represent for the legends, rapping mumble rappers. So we ain't sitting on the hips. Two pocket beats, dreaming. Thank you for the bliss. It's the Murder Master Music Show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets. I got my chopper about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Vanilla song, I see you feeding for the show. Let's get the drums, let's get it on.
We're going to keep it Writer's Appreciation this week. This is your boy Perez, Murder Master Music Show, episode 652. We just had one of my mentors, Charlie Braxton, on the show, who actually is my Murder Dog alumni. We go back many years. But we're, like I said, it's Writer's Appreciation Week. We're going to keep it that way. We're going to bring on a phenomenal writer. She's covered just about everybody in hip-hop. You name it, Ice-T, Schoolie D, the list goes on and on and on. We're going to actually bring her on, the lovely Miss Kyle Eustace. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We have about 16 inches of snow in Colorado today.
16 inches of snow. Wow, that sounds like Chicago. You guys are really getting hit pretty hard over there for the Thanksgiving. It's a huge honor to have you on the show. It's always an honor to be able to interview, other writers and journalists in this hip-hop game, because we all have different stories. Even though we might have interviewed some of the same people over the years, it's always interesting to hear the backdrops of some of the people that's helped keeping this stuff alive. And I take my hat off to you for doing that. Let's go all the way back, though, Kyle. When did you first get involved in hip-hop, as far as listening to it and finding a love for it? And where are you from? Where's your background?
That's easy. I grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, of all places. And I had a bit of an advantage with my father, who was in a band since I was born. So he was a big music freak. In about the fourth grade, he took my mom, my little sister, and me to the record store and came out with Beastie Boys' License to Ill. And as soon as he put that on, it made my mom so mad. So I knew I loved it, like, right away. And from there, I just was obsessed with Def Jam. You know, LL Cool J, Run DMC, Public Enemy, all of that. And it just really started my love affair quite young, actually. So I have my dad to thank. Shout out, Dad.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool that your father was able to get you into hip hop. And right away, the Beastie Boys, that was it, huh? And it just blossomed from there.
Mm-hmm. It was something about those 808s that I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And just the fact that they were funny, too. And I just never heard anything like it before. So used to pop music or growing up with my dad's taste, which are incredible, by the way. Like, he got me into The Clash and The Specials and The Beatles and Led Zeppelin, all that good stuff. So, yeah, I kind
of
had
a
leg up. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, that's dope as hell that, you know, you were able to later on take that love for music from such a young age and turn it into a career. At what point did you, you know, start doing hip-hop journalism?
Well, I think it kind of evolved. I mean, it started in high school, I guess, because I was going to a lot of shows, and then I took a journalism class sophomore year, and I realized that I could write about entertainment as a job. And I was like, what? Like, I couldn't believe that that was actually something that existed. Like, I could go to a show, write about it, and get paid. It was just a really exciting prospect for me. So I like to say I get paid in lifestyle sometimes. I really think I might have possibly gotten into this just for the free tickets and albums. I'm not sure. But I guess the hip-hop side, that started to emerge in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I started throwing shows there around 2007 or 8, and I quickly kind of became the go-to girl for hip-hop shows down there. And at the same time, I was freelancing for the local paper, and I started doing, you know, interviews with all the hip-hop artists that would come through, or album reviews and stuff like that. And then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Wow. Wow. And it just turned into a thing where, you know, you start writing for DX, for Thrasher, Source, High Times, mm-hmm. so many to name. Who was the first one you really started to write for?
I guess, you know, like the first bigger one, I guess you could say, would be Wax Poetics. And that was really special to me. It was a dream of mine to get in that magazine, and I've been blessed to have two cover stories with that magazine. I did one on De La Soul and one on Big Daddy Kane. And then I just did a bunch of other stuff. Yeah, and that was really a dream come true. I actually wrote a story on Run the Jewels before they were Run the Jewels. It was just when they had gotten together. So I talked to Killer Mike and LP right as they were about to, you know, launch the group. And, you know, to see where they are today is really dope. And knowing, like, I was kind of there at the beginning is pretty It makes me proud, I guess I should say. And, Wax Poetics. And then I did an interview with Chuck D. I think it was around 2010. And he and I just saw eye to eye on so many things. And it wasn't too long after that he called me up and asked me to get involved with him. So then I started writing and doing interviews and radio, you know, news minutes for him. For Rap Station and Hip Hop Gods, his two babies. And so I've been working with him for, yeah, like 7 years.
Awesome. That's awesome because, I mean, here you are as a kid. You're already loving Def Jam music. And then all these years later, you're writing for a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Chuck D.
Oh, my dad loves to bring that
amazing.
Up, too.
Yeah. That's amazing. I interviewed him, I want to say back in 2015. It was actually on the birthday of my co-host. So I surprised him with that for his birthday gift. Like, I got Chuck D calling you in about 15 minutes. Yeah, such a humble individual. You know, what's it like to work with him, though? What's he like behind the scenes?
He's a different kind of person. I mean, he is one of the most incredible, warm, caring people, humble, like you said, that I've ever met. I mean, let me just put it in perspective. So, as you know, I lost my mother 6 months ago. While she was in the ICU, you know, she was very ill. And unprompted, Chuck shouts her out on his radio show, you know, and said, hey, we're all thinking about Kyle's mom. And, I mean, he didn't have to do that. And then I went out to L.A., for a trip, and we were invited to a Public Enemy rehearsal in Hollywood. And we stopped by, and I was like, man, Chuck, my dad would really love to hear from you. Let's call him. And so we tried to call my dad, but he didn't answer. So he goes, well, let's make a video. Again, like completely unprompted. He ends up making a video for my dad. It just made my dad's day. And he's just a one-of-a-kind individual, I should say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, real down-to-earth cat. That reminds me of, you know, I interviewed Ice-T years ago, and my mom was around, and she's a huge fan of his show, SVU. And I put her on the phone with him, and it like made her day. And he was so nice and humble talking to her and stuff. And to this day, she tells everybody, I talked to Ice-T. You know, and my wife's like, I talked to Coco. You know, she called and see how I was doing. So it's cool
wow.
to be able to bring that into your home, so to speak, you know, and let your family,
mm-hmm.
You know, be involved in it as well.
Oh, yeah.
Thrasher, when I was a kid. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just going to say that I've had some pretty crazy experiences just recently, you know, in the wake of my mother's passing. I went to Red Rocks in Colorado, which is, of course, one of the most beautiful venues in the world. And I had all access passes to go interview Chris Calico because it was around the time he was, you know, thinking about leaving Strange Music. And my dad happened to be in town. I was like, Dad, you want to go see Red Rocks? Because he'd never been there. And so here he is going backstage. He sees Beatles stuff everywhere. He's just in awe. And I go do the interview, and Chris was like, oh, your dad's here? I was like, yeah. And he's like, where is he? I want to meet him. And next thing you know, they're like hugging and like laughing. And it was just a really cool night. So, man, just I love those types of artists.
I mean, that's cool as hell. You introduce your dad to Chris Calico. super talented individual, Chris Calico is, but he's also very, like I said, very, very humble and upbeat. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
That was the night he said he was going to stay with Strange, was it not?
Yep, it was amazing. I got to write about that exclusively and kind of break the news. And that was I'm really proud of that story. It was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Tech, you know, he's come a long way over the years. I remember when we were, interviewing him and reviewing him in the Murder Dog. You know, we were like the only ones at that particular time. You know, way back then. You know, 2000, 2001. Everybody was clowning him, so to speak, and stuff. But then he just kept doing what he's doing. You know.
Yep.
But
well, he grew up, of course, in Kansas City, and I'm in Omaha, so he would always come up to Omaha when he was first getting started. So I think I met him probably in, like, 06 or something, maybe even before. So he and I have been working. I've been working with Strange Music for so long that it's really dope to see how he persevered and is, like, the most successful indie rap label ever.
Yeah, he started getting his plaques finally. I remember you know, back in the day, he was talking about, you know, he's going to get plaques, and he's getting them now, that's for sure. Ryan Shafton over at RBC keeps posting pics every once in a while. Shout out to Brian Shafton as well, everybody over there. But you said you're from Omaha. There is a huge mm-hmm. underground rap scene over there. You know, cats like Alon Mack and, did you ever get into any of those guys, underground cats over there?
You know, there weren't, like, when I was there, because I haven't lived there in a long time, there weren't a ton, to be honest, that I was really messing with. There was a group called ADF that I really liked, and that was comprised of my homies Ebabs, Jamaz, and Mars Black, and I really liked what they were doing. There was a few others, like Surreal, shout out Surreal. He's really kept the hip-hop scene in Omaha, you know, cohesive throughout the years. But yeah, I mean, I found a tighter hip hop scene, honestly, in New Mexico. Like, I have to be honest, it's a very, very different type of place. And it was most evident recently, you know, when our homie Wake Self passed away on November 5th. He was a very prominent MC out of Albuquerque. He was an activist. He, you know, toured with Master Ace, Zumbi of Zion I, and all sorts of cats. But we went down to Albuquerque for the memorial show, and there's just a different vibe that you get with New Mexico hip hop scene. It's hard to explain unless you've experienced it, but it's a special place.
Yeah. Sorry for your loss. Because I know you were good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a very hard thing to deal with in you know, covering these guys when some of them pass, you know, because you have mm-hmm. such a connection. You know, Like recently, you did a piece about Reddy Red.
Yeah.
You know, after
you did too.
After Willie went on Vlad. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Shout out to you for upholding his legacy, because he contributed so mm-hmm. much to hip hop. You know.
Yep.
And
you just hit the nail on the head, though. Like, what my career is all about. What if I could leave any legacy behind? What I want is to make sure that our pioneers and our architects get the respect they deserve. And I feel like so often they get left behind just because, I don't know, like the new generation or whatever it is. But I just feel like they're the pillars of this culture and they need to be respected. And I try to uphold that at all times.
Yeah, and that's I see it in your work, and that's why I really respect you. You know, as one of my peers, because you believe in the foundation, the building blocks of hip hop, and that they must be kept intact. You know, I don't
mm-hmm.
care if there's 100 styles of hip hop. You know, as long as we respect those before us and keep their legacies alive, you know, let's keep
mm-hmm.
it all going. You know,
yeah. Like I thought it was tragic that I was one of the only people to cover Jimmy Spicer. Like I just was like, what is going on here? You know, Super
yeah.
Rhymes, like he deserved that shine. And I interviewed him last year, you know, I helped him with the GoFundMe. Like I knew he was struggling. And of course, then he passed this year. So I covered that and it was, he kind of passed away quietly. And I just thought that was kind of messed up to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Same thing with you know, Fresh Kid Ice and Two Live Crew. When he passed,
mm-hmm.
Or prior to him passing, you know, there was just a few people out there that were covering him, and he was
mm-hmm.
a pioneer not only for the South but for the West Coast, for Asian rappers,
mm-hmm.
and he was from Brooklyn,
yes.
by way of Trinidad.
Yep.
You know, it's like
yeah.
we gotta acknowledge these things, you know.
I did one of the stories on him. I did it for Hip Hop TX, and yeah, that was an important one too. Even TC Islam I covered. I mean, all sorts of just, you know,
yeah.
I feel people that right. might not have gotten, yeah, like the shine they deserve.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely, definitely. We're going to go to a break here in a little bit, but before we do, you know, as a kid, just like every other kid from my generation, you know, I tried the skateboard thing. I couldn't do it, you know, but I loved it for a minute. And one of the magazines that we all liked was Thrasher.
Mm-hmm.
And you write for them. How did you hook up with them? And are
yeah,
you a skater?
Yeah, it's the weirdest story. No. So my first job was at a skate shop. I was 14 years old. I did try to skate with all the neighborhood boys when I was younger, but I'm afraid of pain, so I was like, I don't know if this is the best sport for me, so I quickly discovered that I'd rather just hang out with them and kind of absorb the music they were listening to. Like when I worked at the skate shop, that's really where I discovered a lot of new hip-hop. Like that's where I figured out who De La Funky Homo Sapien was and Souls of Mischief and, you know, groups like that from 411 videos and all of that. So I really loved the culture. So fast forward to 2010, and I'm still living in New Mexico. My buddy Joe Hamaki from Omaha is the staff photographer for Thrasher, and I mentioned, hey, I'm going to Albuquerque to see Cursive, which is a band out of Omaha, and he's like, oh, you should interview them and turn it into Thrasher. And I was like, what? Yeah, right. And he's like, no, seriously. I was like, all right. So I go down there, I interview him. Write up the story, and nothing happens. So I'm like, okay, I guess, you know, they're not going to publish it. Well, like a month goes by, and I hit up Joe, and I was like, hey, what's up? You know, I guess they're not going to publish this. He's like, nope, October issue. And I was like, get out of here. So I get the first issue. I'm freaking out. I'm like showing it to people, Baskin Robbins, like just random people on the street. Like I was so excited. And I've been writing for them for the past 9 years, nearly every issue. Since. So we have a big stack of them at our house.
Wow. That's awesome right there. And you know, Thrasher always kind of blends, you know, multiple worlds together as far as music goes and culture itself, you know,
mm-hmm.
so I imagine you get an opportunity to talk to all kinds of people.
Oh, I'm looking at an issue right now that I shared with my dad when he was here, and it's an interview I did with Slash. So I get to interview everybody. So Slash, I've interviewed Morrissey for Thrasher. I've interviewed, like, Jesus and Mary Chain. I've interviewed Ice-T. I mean, all sorts of different groups and artists for Thrasher.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Most definitely, most definitely. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go to a quick break, then we're going to come back and chop it up a little bit more. We got hip-hop journalist Kyle Eustis on the line with us tonight, so don't go nowhere.
No sleep till...
Classic hip hop right there. DC Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn. We're back here, episode 652, Murder Master Music Show. We got hip hop journalist Kyle Eustis on the line. Let me bring her back on. I think she's there. You there? Let's see. We're having these little technical problems tonight, but I think we got her now. You there?
I'm here. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Cheap radio service here at Blog Talk, but you know, it is what it is. But now I was bumping that Beastie Boys song, and I just recalled I saw a documentary about the murder of Jam Master Jay the other day. They had DJ Hurricane on there talking about it. You know, that right there, I mean, it was on Netflix, real powerful documentary. Did you ever have a chance, you know, to chop it up with, like, you know, BC Boys, Run DMC, or any of those guys?
You know, I did cross paths with all the BC Boys when I was very young. 1992, I went and checked out their Check Your Head tour. And my dad would have a habit of dropping us kids off with a giant poster or an album to get signed. So he took me at like 5 p.m. to go to their sound check. And I'm there with this giant Subway-sized poster of Check Your Head. And I end up meeting Ad Rock, MCA, and Mike D. They all sign it. Like, it was just an incredible day. We talked about skateboards, just kicked it for like a good while. And then, you know, fast forward all these years later, I did get to interview DJ Hurricane, who was at that tour. I've, you know, become friends with McMaster Mike. I've interviewed him several times. And then Faye Adams, who is incredible. He used to be the creative director for Def Jam, and he and I have done a bunch of interviews too. But I have not interviewed Mike D or Ad Rock, which I'm currently working on. I did interview DMC, and I was on stage with Run DMC a couple years ago, which was an amazing experience. Yeah. But DMC is great. You could literally,
yeah.
I could hit him up anytime, and he's always willing to talk, and, you know, he's wonderful. So, yeah.
Yeah, I love DMC. Because when I was a kid, those were the guys that I really got into first. And every kid wanted to be like them. We all went and bought those hats. Of course, mine was kind of cheap. It looked like Freddy Krueger's hat more than Run DMC's hat. But, you know, we all tried to emulate those guys. The Adidas,
right.
You name it. We knew all their songs word for word. And then to interview them all these years later. It's amazing.
Yeah. I have a confession. I am literally wearing an Adidas track jacket as we speak.
There you go. See,
yes.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Man, those guys really blew Adidas up. I mean, man, they made them a household name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were the first
yep.
Group to get endorsements, you know, with the shoe company years before. You
yeah.
know, now it's happening all the time, but back then it was
right.
unheard of. You know?
I know. They were groundbreakers in many ways.
Most definitely. When you look back at your career, you know, what are some of the fondest pieces that you like to go back and reference that you've done?
I think most recently one of them was Method Man and Redman. So this is interesting. I think around 99 or so, Method Man went on tour with Limp Bizkit. Do you remember that?
when was
it? And it was like 99. It was a long
99,
time ago.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was a long time ago. And so I go to the show, and I'm there to see Method Man. And somehow we end up, like, finagling our way backstage. And I ended up in a green room with Method Man. I remember lots of weed smoke. But then I remember him handing me a red Yankees hat. And he's like, here, you can have this. So I was like, what? And I was like, wow, dope. Like, thank you so much. And, you know, whatever, went about my way. Well, 20 years later, I'm at Red Rocks again, and I'm backstage, and I notice Redman's, like, tour manager is there, and I was like, hey, I'm Kyle, I'm with Hip Hop DX, do you think they'd have a couple minutes to do an interview? And all of a sudden, I hear Method Man go, I love Hip Hop DX, and then they cleared out the entire room, and I ended up spending, like, 20 minutes with them. Well, to start the interview, I said, hey, Method Man, like, I'll never forget, you know, I met you in 99, you gave me your hat, you were so dope. Redman looks at me, goes, that's that energy, baby. And from there, it was just like, we were old friends. And it was one of the best interviews I think I've ever had. So that was good.
Yeah, when I was a kid, I bugged Def Jam, and they sent me a promo package, and it had an autographed picture of Method Man in there and a bunch of different things. And, you know, that was part of the reason why I got into hip-hop journalism, because I used to, like, call the back of the numbers on the back of the CDs and tapes, you know, and I start building connections with people. But what I really liked was the free merch and the packages.
Yes,
you know?
I'm serious.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I tell you what, I hit the delete button on the EPK so fast because I missed the old physical copies when they send you in the mail. You know, as time goes on and everything turns digital, you know, do you think it's a blessing and a curse? Like there's positives and negatives to all the technology now?
Yes, I think definitely. I'm glad that vinyl is kind of making a resurgence because now we kind of have the best of both worlds. That's kind of how I look at it. I love being able to grab any track I want or any album off Apple Music and just, you know, add it to my library. I think that's amazing. Like, I never would have thought that was possible when I was a kid. But then I also, like you, I love physical copies of things. I still love magazines. Like, I still like those tangible objects. So I think we're kind of in a good place right now where we get the best of both worlds.
Definitely, definitely. I tell you what, I really want to thank you for taking the time out to chop it up with me tonight. It was very good to be able to talk to someone else who I respect in the game, who, like I said before, is, you know, paying homage and respect to the legends and pioneers, and covering, you know, saying good new underground hip hop as well. But before we go, Kyle, I want to bring my homie from France on. This is the homie DJ Lord Sinister. He actually does a lot of interviews over there for us. He'll catch him coming out of you know, at the shows and stuff, and like you're talking about, get, you know, 20 minutes or so with him. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Hi, Scott. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hi. I got a question for you. It was what was your feel when you did on Ready Red and the Really History of Ghetto Boys and a Bushwick Bill Passer? It was way when you took it in it in DX. What was your feel about Ready Red, Dial, and all that?
What was my feeling about it?
Yeah, about the history of Ghetto Boys, of the case he was. He was not really recognized by history.
I think I was pretty disappointed once again, and I feel like that's why I stepped up and wanted to talk to Ready Red's sister, and I, you know, went the extra mile because Ready Red and I had done a few interviews for Chuck D's site, you know, years and years ago, and he was such a wonderful person, and I feel like he really took a backseat, not by choice, and I didn't feel like that was fair. So, yeah, I was pretty disappointed in the way that all went down. What an incredible person. And I just feel like, again, he didn't get the shine he deserved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And for Bushwick Bill, too, yes.
Bushwick too, yeah. And I covered him as well. I followed that whole story. I was bummed that I never got a chance to talk to him, you know, on the phone or anything. But, yeah, I just, it's really tragic when groups can't mend their issues. And in a way, the pioneers and the founders of those groups suffer. And it's a shame. Yeah. It really is.
You would have loved Bushwick. He was such a fun dude. I mean, we had him on here. It was him, DJ Paul, Mr. Servon, Pooh Man, and like five other people. And him and DJ Paul were going back and forth about wearing skinny jeans and stuff. And it was just hilarious. Yeah.
Well, I did get a chance to talk to two of his kids after his passing, which was very special. And I'm glad that I had that opportunity to kind of know what they were going through, you know, considering, you know, I just lost my parent as well. So it was a good conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely. you know, shout out to Young No, rest in peace, Bushwick, DJ Ready Red as well. Yeah, it's crazy to think about. If you look at that Ghetto Boys album with the four mugshots, half of them are gone now. You know, and it's just crazy. But luckily, you know, people are keeping their names alive. And Young No, I know, is going to be dropping some music with his dad soon. So we should be looking out for that.
Yeah.
You know, but now yourself, Kyle. What about you know, do you have anything in the future we can look forward to, or any pieces coming up we can check out for?
Well, I mean, I did just start my own local radio show. It's the first
awesome.
Hip-hop show that this station has ever had, so that's pretty exciting. KRFC 88.9 FM, Radio Fort Collins. And so I've done a handful of episodes, and the one on Friday, this Friday, well, I guess you're going to edit this out probably because I'm saying a date, but I am doing a special one for Wake Self, who passed away, and I'm really excited about that. I'm also working on Hilltop Hood's interview. I just interviewed those guys from Australia, and I just put up a story with Vin Rock from Naughty by Nature. That's pretty much, I think that's what I have cooking right at this moment.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Vin Rock. Yeah, definitely. Naughty by Nature. You know, hey, you covered them all pretty much. Is there anybody that you haven't covered that you would like to interview?
Yes. Well, yes. So I have my, you know, dream list, which is, this is probably obvious now that you know I'm a Def Jam fan, but Rick Rubin, it's got to be number one. Mike D and Ad Rock. Then we have Eminem, Dr. Dre, and I think those are my top dream list people.
Dre, I know that would be a huge one right there. I've interviewed, you know, like DJ Yella and other people that was down with, you know, Ruthless and stuff like that. Always wanted to interview him as well, because he influenced so many people. I mean, you know. My favorite album he ever did, I think, production-wise. I mean, I always go back to Easy Does It. I just love the sounds on that album. What's your favorite stuff he done?
I mean, The Chronic. That's seriously one of my first intros to gangster rap was The Chronic. I feel like that album I had on repeat for like a year. So, and I love all the Parliament samples because I'm a huge Parliament fan too. So it was just kind of the best of both worlds for me. And I mean, I love all this stuff. NWA, I like some Old Spice One. I like Bone Thugs, a bunch of those different groups. Bone Thugs, they're actually like some of the most fun people to interview, I gotta say.
Yeah. Busy's hilarious. Of course, I did get into a shouting match with Lazy, so shout out to Lazy. Hopefully, you can come back on the show in the future. That was years ago.
That's funny.
I think what it was is he was drunk, and I might have been a little tipsy, and we just got into it. Ended it on a positive note, though. We ended it on a positive note.
I almost feel like. Yeah, Crazy and I are like cool. I can hit him up whenever. We've done a few stories recently, even about that Japanese. Did you hear about the Japanese kid that flew all the
James
way to?
About that.
Yeah, basically, a kid flew 6,000 miles to Cleveland to go to the project where he believed Bone Thugs would be because he's a super fan, and he ends up getting robbed. it's a sad story actually, but I interviewed Crazy about it and he gave me a great statement, and God bless that kid, seriously. God bless.
Yeah, I think he's still there. I've been talking to some of his people, and some of them kind of adopted him almost, like, you know, and, you know, taking him around, and, you know, so yeah, it's
put
crazy. 6,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, that's dedication. That's dedication.
Yeah, I mean, this dude put himself in the line of fire, you name it, you know. But
well, you know what's awesome. Funny though? I feel like Crazy gave me kind of like my street cred because I told him, I said, you know, when I was young, I was pretty naive and I would go anywhere basically. And I ended up in the King Kennedy Projects in Cleveland once. And he goes, did you say King Kennedy Projects? I was like, yeah. He's like, that's worse than where we're from. And I was like, well, I live to tell about it. So, yeah, he confirmed the Kyle Hassan street cred.
Fearless.
That made me laugh. Yeah.
Well, that's cool. You know, and once again, thank you for taking the time out to talk to us tonight. And, you know, I wish you nothing but success in the future. Just keep doing what you're doing for hip-hop. And, you know, it's an honor to consider you as a peer. And, oh, thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Scott.
No doubt. But before we do get out of here, I'll give you the floor. You know, you want to plug anything or give me any shout-outs, feel free. It's all yours.
Basically, shout out Hip Hop DX, shout out Chuck D, shout out KRFT88.9 FM, Fort Collins, and also to my husband Paul Lukes, who has been one of the most supportive people in my life when it comes to my career. Couldn't do it without him. So yeah.
Well, that's what's up. Thank you so much, and you take care of yourself.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.